right, if you would please open in the Bible to Revelation chapter 1. Raise your hand if you've been at a church that did a series on the book of Revelation. Okay, that's good, that's good. I'm very glad to see that. A lot of people haven't, whole series anyway. They might see bits and pieces, but a whole series on the book of Revelation isn't all that common these days. We're going to go through it through Advent, and depending on how it goes and what the feedback is, we might actually continue into Epiphany with the letters to the churches, and who knows if it's striking a chord that is worthwhile and that people are responding to. We might try to do more of the book of Revelation in the new year once we finish up Matthew's Gospel, which is just, believe me, it's just around the corner. We're having a great time with Matthew's Gospel, and we should be finishing Matthew's Gospel just around Easter time. So the goal might be to pick up with the book of Revelation. But today we're going to look at Revelation chapter 1. If you would please turn in the Bible to page 1028. We're just going to look at the first three verses. If you would please stand. A reading from Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it. For the time is near. The word of the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this Advent Sunday, as we open our Bibles to the very last book of the Bible, we pray that you'd please send your Holy Spirit upon us, that you'd put away from us all the distractions, all the things that keep us from listening to you. Father, put away from us all the things we've heard and seen about the book of Revelation that may not be helpful. Help us to open this book, Father, with open hearts and open minds. Send your Spirit to teach us exactly what you want us to learn so that it may be the blessing it's intended to be. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want to say thank you to everybody who stayed around last Sunday, including the women of the church who organized the beautiful decorations. They put a lot of time planning, organizing, and then helping to set up, as did many of you. Thank you very, very much. Advent's always been a very special time for me, and I'm grateful that we have this chance going into Christmas to sort of prepare ourselves for the great message of Jesus' birth and the great message of Jesus to us here today, the future. What is the future for those of us who walk with Christ? The first word in the passage we're going to look at this morning is the revelation, or in Greek, apokalypsis. It's actually literally in Greek the very first word, apokalypsis. It doesn't have an article here. It opens with apokalypsis. That's where we get the English word apocalypse or apocalyptic. If you Google apocalypse, and by the way, I challenge you to do this when you get home, you'll be interested to see all the things that show up on the first 10 pages. Certainly the first two or three pages, anyway. It may depend on your browser and what your search history is like. But when I Google it, I get movies. You can guess what my search history is often geared towards, popular things, pop things. And so all these different movies and television shows, it's a frequent theme, isn't it? Apocalyptic things. I think of the zombie movies and all these movies about horrific ends to the world and planets and meteorites crashing and all kinds of creatures invading the earth. All these crazy images. If you're as old as me, you've seen many of those over the years. One of my favorite is a movie where I think it's actually called Armageddon, which is another theme in the book of the Revelation Apocalypse. And it's a movie where America saves the world. Of course, that's a repeating theme, as you know. America always saves the world. But anyway, it's an interesting movie. All these movies underscore the fact that apocalypse, to many people today, does not call to mind things that encourage, build up, bless. As a matter of fact, when you read apocalyptic scenarios, they're often dark, terrifying, monsters, all kinds of images and things that are meant to literally scare us to go buy more tickets and take our friends to see the latest scary show. That's the way the world understands apocalypse. One of my favorites is not one of the most famous. It's a movie called The Seventh Seal. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that. Ingmar Bergman's great black and white depiction of a crusader knight who comes back. And the seventh seal is an image in the book of Revelation. And it's an apocalyptic vision of this crusader knight who comes back. And it's very famous because he plays a chess game with death. And so it's full of very interesting images that stick with you for a while, the picture of the knight playing chess with death. Anyway, all this stuff forms the background when we come to the word apocalypse. And actually, when we come to the book of Revelation, a lot of those same images come to mind, maybe less science fiction-y, but just as scary. And if you've ever read your way through the book of Revelation by yourself, you will know what I'm talking about. There are some vivid images in the book of Revelation. Very vivid images. And things that are by themselves, they are disturbing. Some of them can be quite frightening. That's why it's so important that we take a moment to look at the context. I've said this a couple of times. It's important in the Bible to look at context. We shouldn't take just individual images or individual verses and pull those out all by themselves. We will very likely misunderstand it, and we will almost certainly not fully understand it if we just pull those things out of context. So I'd like for us to start this morning's series on Revelation by looking at the very first three verses. And this season, we're going to look at the very first chapter of this book that you may or may not have ever read yourself. You may or may not. I know some of you raised your hands. That's good. You've studied this book. But I noticed a number of you did not raise your hands. And so it might be this is your first opportunity to sort of dig into Revelation a bit. And I hope you will see after this morning's sermon, and especially after we finish chapter 1, that its message might be different than what you had thought. So let's look at the first three verses of the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. I've already pointed out the first word, apocalypse, translated in English as the revelation. The book of Revelation is a revelation. Every once in a while you'll hear it called revelations, plural. That's not actually correct. It's revelation, very plainly. And it's important because the whole book is a vision. It's a series of linked images which are part of a vision which were given to John. They were actually given to him so that he could share them with others. And John saw this image. If you look at the end of verse 2, even to all that he saw. The imagery is in large part visual. It's describing things that John saw. The revelation included these things, these images which John saw. And that's the whole purpose of the book. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Here in this book is a series of things that John saw, forming one vision, one revelation that is intended for God's people. And it's interesting, the book specifies a sort of chain of custody. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Jesus to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who then bore witness to the word and to the testimony. So it goes like this. God gives this revelation to Jesus. It is of Jesus. Jesus entrusts it to this angel. The angel brings it to John. And what does John do with it? He entrusts it to us. I think it starts with this reference to a chain, because guess what? You and I are part of the chain. It is not meant to end with the first hearers. It is specifically intended to be shared. Now, it's to be shared in the context, not a series of verses pulled out, not an image here or there turned into a scary movie, but it's a unified message contained in this vision. And you and I are part of this chain of custody, just as it was passed from the angel to John, and from John to the first hearers, and from those first hearers to you and me. We're part of that ongoing chain of custody. And I'd love to think that you and I, in our day, will be faithful in passing this on to others today. That's one reason we're doing it this season is, okay, God has given this to us. He's entrusted it to us. We're meant to be witnesses. Let's be witnesses to what God has to say about the subjects he discusses that are revealed to us in Revelation. So let's be very clear. This book is meant to be a revelation. And of course, at its most basic, that simply means it is revealing something to us. It's funny, when you look up something apocalyptic, it's often the reverse. It feels as though an apocalyptic is something that is making mysterious or dark or difficult to understand. It's sort of layers of mystery that are piled on top of something. And very often, apocalyptic movies are like that. There's very dark, lots of things that keep us away from understanding it. And in fact, unraveling it is sort of part of the fun of a good apocalyptic movie, as you're trying to figure out, as in Seventh Seal, you're trying to figure out what's going on here. Well, the book of Revelation is the opposite of that. Now, there is symbolism that is intentionally very dense, and we have a lot of work to do to get through it. But the purpose of the book is not to make clear things mysterious. The purpose of the book of Revelation is to reveal to us something that we don't know on our own. Now, we saw last Sunday, if you were here last Sunday, you'll know, interestingly, Matthew chapter 20 concludes with a reference to the very subject matter of the book of Revelation. I was grateful for that providential kind of bridge, because it really helped transition from what Matthew was saying leading up to the cross. At chapter 20, before Jesus has made his way to Jerusalem, as he's on his way, there Jesus, speaking to Matthew for the first time in the Gospel of Matthew, makes reference to this new creation and the Son of Man on his throne. These are the very subject matters that we find in the book of Revelation. In fact, Revelation concludes with the fullest discussion of the new creation that Matthew points us towards. It's Revelation at the very end of this book where we are actually told what that new creation is all about. And the second coming of Christ, which we'll be thinking about this season of Advent, is all about the fullness of that new creation. So Christmas is a lot more than cute sentimental stories about singing animals. Christmas and the season of preparation for Christmas is a time for us to think through all that is involved in the glorious new creation of Jesus. And that's where the book actually begins. John, who was the person entrusted with this vision, wants to make it plain that this is revelation. This is meant to explain. It's meant to uncover that which is on its own sometimes very difficult to understand. It's something that we need the aid of the church. We need the aid of the Spirit. We need the aid of the entire Bible to understand what's being revealed to us. But let's be very clear. This book is not meant to hide things or make things mysterious. This book is intended to reveal things. And this Advent season, I hope we'll have a chance to learn some of what this book is revealing. So if you look at the outline, you'll see it's a revelation. That's very, very important. By the way, the word revelation comes from the Old Testament as well. This book is particularly built around a series of visions, an extended vision given to the prophet Daniel. I brought two books with me today that I recommend to you very highly. One is William Hendrickson, More Than Conquerors, an Interpretation of the Book of Revelation. I very highly recommend this book. And I also very highly recommend a book by Greg Beal, who's a teacher here in Dallas at Reformed Seminary. This big, thick book is his shorter commentary on Revelation. I can't say enough good about this book. I highly, highly recommend it. And Dr. Beal makes the point about verses 1 to 3 that this word revelation, apocalypsis, is actually picking up from the book of Daniel an idea and a way of thinking and a way of communicating and an idea that Daniel was communicating in his own book, which is built around this idea of revealing. I look over in the Old Testament at the other end of the Bible. Go all the way over to Daniel chapter 2. On page 738. This is important enough for you to see what Dr. Beal is talking about, and again, what John is talking about as he shares this vision. Look at page 738, Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel is in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream, and Daniel's commanded to interpret it. This is what Daniel says in verse 20. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Verse 22. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and you have made known to me, you have revealed to me what we ask of you. For you have made known, you have revealed to us the king's matter. And then look down at verses 27 to 30. Daniel answered the king and said, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. Verse 28, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed, came thoughts of what would be after this, and he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known. So flip back to Revelation. You can plainly see how this idea of revelation is an idea that the Spirit has helped John to understand in this vision. He's actually picking up a theme hundreds of years later from a prophet hundreds of years earlier, named Daniel, who was writing at a time when the people of God were in captivity. They were suffering persecution. They were going through great hardship. And God had given Daniel this vision. And we'll look at the vision as we go through the book of Revelation chapter 1. Again and again, John is led back to an Old Testament vision. And apart from that Old Testament vision, we might misunderstand the New Testament. We might misunderstand Revelation 1. We might misunderstand Revelation. So we want to read what John says here in chapter 1 and throughout Revelation in light of all that the Bible has to say. So, let's first be clear. This book is a revelation. And when you read the book of Revelation, you are intended to be helped to understand mysterious things. It's not meant to confuse you. It might at times, but it's not intended to confuse you. It's intended to be a revelation. Also notice this, that it's a revelation of Jesus. Sometimes you hear this called John's revelation or the revelation to John. And it is a revelation to John, and it did come through John. But it's not primarily of John. John seems to be here very specifically pointing to the divine authorship that lies behind this book. Maybe in a way more profound than almost any other book, John is pointing beyond himself to things that he saw that God revealed to him. It's a revelation of Jesus. And that means it's concerning Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's from Jesus. It's of Jesus. It is centered on Jesus Christ. You know, I mentioned the long list of movies about the apocalypse. Well, if you sort down through the list, however long your list may be, and think about the movies or the TV shows or the books or whatever that you read, just try to remember as you the ones you've seen or read, how often Jesus is actually ever mentioned. Very, very infrequently. Very infrequently. Think of a zombie movie that ever mentions Jesus. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Yet, the book of Revelation is centered on him. Any understanding of the book of Revelation that separates from us from Christ is bound to get it wrong. It is of him, which God gave him in the first place. So Jesus is at the center of the book of Revelation. And when we tackle a book like Revelation, it is extremely important that we remember that. As we go through this chapter, you'll see why it's so important. As you go through this book, you will be helped beyond words by always remembering that at the center of it is the one who lived and died for us. He's at the center of the book. He's the main character. He's the star. He's the one towards whom everything is moving. That's where Revelation concludes, is with Jesus and the kingdom and the new creation. So it's a revelation. It's meant to explain, and it's specifically meant to be a revelation of Jesus Christ. One reason I'm very glad for the little springboard from Matthew's gospel. The same Jesus that we meet in Matthew's gospel, the same Jesus who walked the dusty roads of Palestine, the same Jesus that saved Matthew and the apostles, the same Jesus that would go to the cross and die there, that same Jesus is at the center of the book of Revelation. And if we don't keep that front and center, we're bound to get it wrong. From start to finish, Jesus is at the center of this book. It's a revelation of Christ. Finally, and this is such an important point, it is a revelation of Jesus Christ that is intended to bless. It's specifically intended to bless. It is not intended to terrify. It's not intended to make us anxious. I've got very, very dear friends who get anxious at the mention of the book of Revelation. I can relate with that. I remember as a small boy overhearing conversations of people talking about the book of Revelation and all kinds of very vivid, dramatic images pulled from the book of Revelation. And it was out of context. All I was hearing were these images. And I remember plain as day getting anxious and fearful when I would hear the images contained in this book. And as you read through the book, there are these powerful images, many of them taken from the book of Daniel or elsewhere in the Old Testament. Powerful images. They are indeed powerful. But they're not intended to make us fearful. As a matter of fact, as we go along, we'll see from start to finish, it is intended to bless us. And next week, we'll see some of the specific ways it's intended to bless. It's not blessing in some vague, abstract way. There are some very specific ways it's meant to bless us. But let's just pause and look at verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. So John Fowler and I have been blessed this morning by reading to you a few of the words of this book. And all of you who are sitting here who heard it were blessed. Isn't that interesting? It's the only book in the Bible where there's a specific blessing attached to reading it and hearing it. The specific reference, I'm basing that on what Dr. Beal said, and I believe that's correct. This is the only book in the Bible that has this specific purpose to bring a blessing. James Boyce was a great Presbyterian pastor and commentator. He wrote, "The words of this blessing show that Revelation was primarily written not to give information for the mind, as if its goal were only to enable us to figure out what might happen at the end of time, or even merely to look back at the past and understand it. It was written to enable Christian people to live for Jesus today. And it requires that they do." You see, the blessing comes not only to those who read it, but it comes to those who hear it and who keep what is written in it. This book has an application. It is not simply something to stir up esoteric images and give people stuff to write books and movie scripts about. It actually has a purpose, an important purpose, so important that it's the very last book of the Bible. It's like the exclamation point to the Bible. And there is an application. We'll come to it. We'll see what the application is. Part of the application, surely, is to continue this chain of custody. It's been entrusted to us. And it breaks my heart that in the year of grace 2024, the book of Revelation might possibly be the least studied book in the church. Either it's obsessed over in an unhealthy way, or it's simply tucked away and never discussed at all. That's not meant to be. This book is a book of blessing, and it's meant to be shared in this ongoing, perpetual chain of custody, passing it along in context to others to help bring this blessing to them. It's not meant to terrify. It's not meant to scare people. It's not even intended primarily for non-Christians. It's intended primarily to bring a blessing to God's people, you and me. And if we properly understand it, it will bring blessing. It will bring encouragement. And it will make very plain how we are meant to respond to it. What do we do with this information? What is it meant to teach us? What is it meant to call us to do? Well, I hope this Advent, while we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas, while we're looking towards the return of Christ, it might actually challenge us to look at not just the time between now and Christmas a little differently. I hope it will challenge the way we think about every minute of every day. That's what it's meant to do. It's meant to put all things into the right perspective of time. It's not so much a description of a countdown to something in the distant future. It's a way of looking at every single minute until Jesus returns. And that's meant to be a blessing to us. It's meant to fill our life with fruitfulness. It's meant to fill our life with hope and confidence. And as we make our way through Revelation chapter 1, we'll see how this book accomplishes what God intended it to do. If we will listen, if we will really listen, it will do these things among us. So please be here the rest of the Advent. I know people travel, and if you've got to travel, watch it online. But what I'd like you to know is the book of Revelation is actually meant to be one of the most important, one of the most helpful, one of the most blessed books that you will ever read. So do that with us this Advent season as we look at this first chapter together.